Back at it here on The Fan. It's overtime with Jonathan Peterlin. We go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We go to Kansas City, where Alex Gold, of course, guy I used to work with, guy I've worked around. Actually, you know what? We never actually even worked together, did we?
No, we didn't. We just kind of like crossed paths and missed each other by, I think, a month or two at a couple spots.
That's the best part. It was at two different spots that we just barely missed each other, but we go back over a decade of tweeting out different Royals late-night baseball games and different things like that. So it's been a long time, and I'm happy to see the success that you're having in so many different areas. You have commandeered the betting landscape, which was a genius move on your part, and also you are everything Kansas City Chiefs right now. So anyway, thanks for giving us a few minutes.
Yeah, of course, man. It's always good to be on with you. I feel like we've been doing this the last 5 years as well with the Chiefs. We call it the Arrowhead Invitational. We're spoiled here in Kansas City when it comes to AFC title game week.
Oh, you see, I heard it being referred to as the Patrick Mahomes Invitational. Is it really called just the Arrowhead Invitational instead?
Yeah, Arrowhead Invitational. Yeah, definitely the Arrowhead Invitational in Cincinnati. That they're calling it Burrowhead and all that, but it's the Arrowhead Invitational.
Burrowhead is kind of disrespectful. Just a little bit to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Look, we can talk about it. Obviously, Cincinnati's 3-0 against the Chiefs here and with Burrow as of late. But it's funny. Like, he's won one time at Arrowhead. So changed the name of the stadium. It's kind of funny.
I mean, the rise of Joe Burrow has been insane. And listen, I like Joe. I do. I think he's a very talented quarterback. I don't think anybody – my stake in it was always I like Joe Burrow better than I liked Josh Allen. I've been on that card for – about a year now at this point, and it's paid off dividends in the previous couple weeks. But the idea that Joe Burrow is in a class of Patrick Mahomes, to me, Alex, is just pure insanity.
I totally think so. I understand national narratives and everything that how we do it in sports, and we view how I don't know who first started it, but basically we do this like quarterback head to head stuff as if it's Joe Burrow against Patrick Mahomes. I get it. That's how we do it, but. Joe Burrow, to me, is the second-best quarterback in the league. I'm with you. He's above Josh Allen. But even if Joe Burrow beats Kansas City at Arrowhead and goes to back-to-back Super Bowls, to me, until he gets the ring, like we can't even start to have the conversation. Patrick Mahomes has had the best five-year start to an NFL career for a quarterback in NFL history. I mean, the guy's hosted five AFC title games. He's been to two Super Bowls. He's got a ring. He's got an MVP. He's about to pick up another MVP award here in about 2 weeks. So, Joe Burrow's got some work to do, but with that said, I mean, Joe Burrow's a hell of a quarterback, and all but, I think maybe Buffalo, other than that, everybody else would take that guy as their quarterback. Buffalo and Kansas City, otherwise, Joe Burrow, every GM in football would love to have him.
Now, you do the betting markets. If Joe Burrow were to beat Patrick Mahomes, would Burrow be favored over either the 49ers or the Eagles, whoever advances out of the NFC side, or is that not a sure thing?
So I'm trying to remember. I looked actually. There's some hypothetical lines that are already out.
Oh, really?
Depending on what sports book. I know the one I know. The Chiefs would be 1 point dogs to Philly. Cincy would be 1.5 point dogs to Philly, which I thought was interesting. They're all within about a half point of each other. Not much different. But to answer your question, against Philly right now in the look ahead line, Mahomes would be a half point better, if you will, against Philly than Joe Burrow would.
Are people in Kansas City just? I mean, they got to be salivating at the mouth at the idea that they can get Kansas City at home, AFC title game, at 1 point at plus money.
That's where we're at now. I mean, the home dog, Patrick Mahomes, are you kidding me? In the postseason, it's the first time, of course, that part has happened. Now, he's been a home dog before. The first time was earlier this season against Buffalo, and you recall the Chiefs lost that game outright.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as if he's for a sure thing here by any means, but the fact that we saw the Chiefs open as, at some books, 3-point favorites, you kind of knew the line was going to shift towards Cincy. What was surprising to see is just in a 72-hour span, you saw the line move to Cincinnati -2.5. And so at that point in time, when you could have got Mahomes at +2.5 at home. Because right now, seeing the Chiefs back to the 1-point favorites, because that's where we're at, it's all the books have moved the Chiefs back to a favor with the good injury news kind of that's been coming out with his ankle. That's basically a pick 'em, right? I saw something. It's like 84 out of the last 87 games in the NFL have been decided by more than a point. So really, -1, or pick which side you think's winning the game. It really, the 1 point's not going to be the difference, most likely.
Alex Gold, 610 Sports in Kansas City, joining us here on 92.3 The Fan. Alex, so tell me how ankle watch is going. What's the latest here with Mahomes?
Oh, we're all in. We're all in on ankle watch. We've discussed the ankle more than any other time I've remembered talking about an ankle in my entire life. But here's the thing, it's been surprisingly more positive than I think everybody thought it would be come Monday. Even you know, Patrick Mahomes has been surprised with how he's feeling based off of what he's at least saying publicly. At this point, there's definitely some more optimism as we sit here on a Thursday night heading into the weekend. The news is essentially that, hey, two practices, full participant, hasn't even been a limited participant. And this, he acknowledged, it's different than going out there and playing on Sunday. He doesn't even know for sure what he will or won't be capable of doing in terms of the mobility. But overall, I think the worry for Chiefs fans was like, man, is he going to be able to move in the pocket? I actually think he's going to surprise some people in terms of how mobile he's going to be. I'll go back to real quick to 2019, where Patrick Mahomes had an ankle sprain with his other ankle. It was his left ankle. This is his right. Right ankle, in his case, is his plant foot, and that he's pushing off of more, I should say. His plant foot was the other one. And he threw for 400 yards the next week. Didn't miss a week. Played against the Raiders, threw for 400 yards. We had a former Chiefs offensive lineman who you guys are probably familiar with in your backyard, Mitchell Schwartz.
Yep.
And he had mentioned that in that game, they didn't change the game plan. Everybody, even heading into this week, thinks, well, they're going to have to get the ball out so much quicker and all this, which I agree. Like, that's what I'm thinking, too. But Mitchell Schwartz said the other day on our station that they didn't change the game plan at all because of the ankle. So I'm starting to wonder if, and maybe this is why the line has shifted back towards the Chiefs, if some of it maybe got a little bit overblown in terms of how severe the ankle was going to be.
Did you guys like Willie Gay speaking out the way that he is? I feel like every Bengals player has already spoken out about different things they don't like about the Chiefs. Did you like Willie Gay combating some of that?
So sports talk radio host me loves it. However, Chiefs fan growing up in Kansas City that have heard these comments, fans not a huge fan of it. A lot of people like the approach the Chiefs were taking this go-around, which was keeping their mouth shut and letting Cincy do all the talking. I don't know if you guys remember earlier this season when the Chiefs played Cincy. Not only did Cincy win that game, but heading into it, Justin Reed, the Chiefs starting safety, kind of made some comments, like, mm-hmm. Didn't even know who Hayden Hurst was, got confused. And, he got reprimanded kind of publicly, if you will, as much as you will, by Andy Reid as publicly as possible, that Andy will do it. And so that was something that didn't bode very well for Justin Reed. And so I think fans like the silent approach this week. And so, yeah, not a huge fan of Willie Gay saying, you know, what's great about what stands out, what's impressive about that Cincinnati offense and saying nothing. If you listen to the full context like anything else, it's probably not as bad as what it comes off to. But all it takes is a couple words, and all of a sudden Jamar Chase and Trent Irwin and all those guys in Cincy obviously get a little fired up.
Chris Jones got a Defensive Player of the Year nominee. Myles Garrett did not. If you could choose Chris Jones or Myles Garrett, one of them, starting a team tomorrow, which are you choosing?
So I'm still choosing Chris Jones, although I'll tell you, he doesn't have a playoff sack. That's what's ridiculous. Does not have a playoff sack in his career. The guy's had 15 and a half sacks in his NFL career twice, including this season, and yet he doesn't have a playoff sack. So there's a lot of fans here that are frustrated, feeling like he hasn't shown up in the postseason. I get it. The sacks is what we look at. He has still made a huge impact in some of these games, but I do find it hard to believe that the Chiefs can win on Sunday if you tell me Chris Jones isn't getting a sack. And if he's not getting a sack, then he better be setting up Carl Loftus or Frank Clark for multiple sacks. The Chiefs have not been able to sack Joe Burrow in any of these games, really, for the most part in this three-game ride. But as great as Myles Garrett is, I still think, you know, Chris Jones, of course, plays a little outside, but he's more of an interior guy. He's the best interior defensive lineman this year in football, and I'm glad to see he finally was an All-Pro this year, first team. And as you pointed out, I think we all know Nick Bosa is going to win Defensive Player of the Year, but definitely happy for Chris to get the nod, at least to finish what looks like a top three vote.
All right, so Alex does a lot over at BetQL as well, so I'm going to ask him some we're going to do some gambling future bets mixed in with some prop bets for this weekend, if that's all right. Okay, Alex?
Let's do it.
All right, Browns next year, your cap, not Vegas, not what they're saying, your cap, over under on wins for the Browns.
So I'm more optimistic than people are here in Kansas City on Deshaun Watson. My co-host thinks Deshaun Watson's completely done. I don't believe that. I still think a full off season and getting away from everything and kind of figuring some things out in the last couple weeks of this season, trying to get some flow, I think will help him. Man, that division, I'm trying to think of that division. Cincinnati's only going to get better. But you know, I'll go and set it at 7.5.
Oh,
for Cleveland,
that's
but
gross.
I would take the over at that. But I think that division, man, like if
that's
here's
gross.
The thing, if Lamar is not in Baltimore, all right, well then I think second place in that division certainly up for grabs, and maybe we're sitting at 8.5. My guess is my number is probably much lower than what Vegas. I'm guessing Vegas will have it at 8.5 or 9. But I guess maybe I'm setting a little bit too low.
It'll just be interesting. I think it's low because if we only get 7 or 8 wins, let's say, if we fall in between the 7.5, Kevin Stefanski's getting fired. Deshaun Watson would not have been the success that he's supposed to have been. Probably the GM, Andrew Berry's also getting fired. It's a absolute utter failure at that point, Alex.
Do you guys, I mean, what's your thought? Do you think they're winning 10 or 11 next year?
I think they either win 10 or 11 or they win something like you guessed and maybe 7.5. And in that other scenario, then they're just, you're out. That's it. You clean house and you got to start over. And I don't want to do that, Alex. I really don't want to do that. I want to go ahead and make this Deshaun Watson thing work.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it kind of has to with the commitment, obviously, the organization put forward, no doubt.
Alex, what's your best prop bet for this weekend? I have not done too many parlays. So we just got gambling in Ohio at the start of the year, and it's been a lot of fun. I had first touchdown score in the Bengals game, Bengals-Bills. I had Ja'Marr Chase. That is the first and last time I'll ever do a first touchdown score. I got it right, but man, are those stupid bets. I'm not a big parlay guy. Oh, really? I feel like I never get any value because I feel like I know too much about what's going on in the game. I can't convince myself to actually like pull the trigger to get any plus odds on anything.
Yeah, the first touchdown bets, I love them. They're a ton of fun. You sprinkle a little bit of money on there, it gives you something else to root for, certainly in a game. I mean, look, this is going to be an obvious one for Sunday, at least involving Kansas City and Cincinnati. I feel like most people are thinking the same way here. There's a couple bets I like. The prop bet is Travis Kelce anytime touchdown again and the over on his yardage. Because, I mean, look, this guy is a different beast even in the playoffs than what he already is in the regular season. He's averaging essentially 100 yards in the postseason and a touchdown in his career. It's nuts. Mm-hmm. And he went 6 games without a touchdown this season. And then last week he gets 2 of them, of course, against Jacksonville. So I think Travis Kelce is a safe bet. I think he's even money to get an anytime touchdown. I haven't seen first touchdown. I want to say you probably can get it again 5-1 again. He was 6-1 last week for the first touchdown. He got that. But, that'll be the prop that I like. And then real quick, I'm sure everybody's on this already there in Ohio, but the very popular teaser play, which is kind of scaring me off a little bit, is to tease Kansas City up, obviously, to a 6-point teaser, tease them up to +7, and then tease the Niners up to, what would that be, +8, +8.5. On a teaser, and you can get it to around -120 for both of them. But that's a very popular teaser play, which kind of scares me off a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not parlay guy, oddly enough, but I'm a big teaser guy.
Teasers are great.
I'll mess with some teasers.
Spreads. Like, if you would have got when the Chiefs were 2-point dogs and teasing them up to 8, my goodness, at home, 8.5 points.
Alex, here's what I've realized. I've got to be in, like, the 85 percentile in live betting. I'm a monster in live betting games. I'm not the greatest when it comes to before the game gets underway, but if I'm watching a game and then I live bet it, I'm a beast. I can't be stopped.
Live betting's awesome. You can find some value spots. I mean, if you kind of have a good feel of the game and you feel like you know these teams, you know, you can kind of get a sense of how these teams usually do when they fall behind. I mean, here in Kansas City, you could have made a good chunk of change this year, and we joked on the show here locally, betting on the Chiefs when they've been down multiple times early. You know, you go back to a Raiders game this year, they were down 17-0. Anytime you get the Chiefs live at plus money, it's awfully tempting. I mean, I think you could probably say the same thing about Cincinnati, because to your point, live betting versus ahead of time. You know, the Chiefs against the actual spread this year at home are the third worst team in the league at home against the spread. But you start, you know, they fall down 7-0 to Cincy, and all of a sudden, you know, they're plus 4.5 or plus money on the money line live. Like, all of a sudden, you certainly like that position a lot better.
Alex, thanks so much for joining us, man. Appreciate you, and I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
All right. Sounds good.